Today we're kicking off a brand new series called Beyond GPS, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And what I want to do today is I want to jump right in to James chapter 1, verse 5. It's our key verse for this entire series. James 1, 5 says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He'll gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. Isn't that good news? If you want to know what God wants you to do, just ask Him. Are you willing to ask God what He wants you to do is the question. Are you willing to pursue God's will? It's an important question anytime in our lives. Are you willing to do God's will today? Are you willing to do God's will this week, this month, this year? I have the sneaking suspicion that you probably are. You probably wouldn't be here today if you were not serious about pursuing God. Maybe you've been walking with God for a long time, and when you look back, you see that you've maybe made some missteps and you want to get back on track. Maybe for others, you're right in the middle of God's will. You just want to make sure that you stay there because you know how good it is to be in the center of His will. Are you willing to do God's will? Well, that's what this series is all about. It's about helping you know and do the will of God. It's called Beyond GPS. GPS, one of the most popular electronic devices over the last few years. Most of the time now, GPS is on our phone. Some vehicles, some cars have it built in. But a lot of times it's just your phone to get your shortest route or the fastest route. It can see things that you and I can't see. I can't tell if there's going to be an accident. I can't tell if there's going to be a delay. And what's so cool about GPS is it can. It gives us another perspective, a better perspective, if you will, of where we're headed. Now, what if you could have a GPS for your life? What if you could have something in your life that could say, here are the heartaches, here are the crashes, here are the accidents, here are the things that you want to avoid. Here's the ups, here's the downs, here's how to deal with those. What if you had something that went beyond GPS? It didn't give you sporadic directions or little spit outs. It actually gave you guidance, gave you advice. Someone who cared about you more than you care about yourself. Somebody who knows you better than you know yourself. Well, you have that available. It's called a relationship with God. And it's called doing God's will. So God wants His will to be done in your life because He knows you better than you do. He knows what's best for you. Listen, doing God's will doesn't mean everything's going to be great, going to be perfect, that everything, you know, is going to be puppy dogs and roses. It's not going to be that, doing God's will, but doing God's will does mean that you're going to be living your life along the best pathway. In fact, let's look at one of the verses in the Old Testament about God's will. It's from Psalms 32:8. It says this, says, The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. You want God to watch over you? You want God to advise you in your career? You want God to advise you in your relationships? You want God to advise you in your finances? I do. And how does he advise us? Well, along the best pathway. So, what is God's will? Well, there are a lot of different definitions of God's will. I'm going to give you one that we're going to use for this series. Here's a sort of a working definition of God's will. God's will is the direction I would choose for my life if I could see things from God's perspective. So, why do we take the route that causes delays or accidents or mistakes or stress or headaches? We take those because we're looking at life from our perspective. We're looking at life from our will be done. But we have limited information. We don't always know which way to go. But listen, God says he has the best pathway for you. And God's not going to lead you down the wrong pathway. God's not going to lead you down a pathway that leads to harm, that causes you to fall into temptation, that causes you to stumble, that causes you to miss out on his steps for your life. And now here's the big point. God gives you a choice. God says, you can continue to do things your way, or you can do things his way. In other words, God says you can invite me into your life and follow his will, or God says you can ignore me and go about your own way. You know, there are consequences to both. If you choose to ignore God, that's going to lead to some problems. I guarantee your life is going to be more stressful if you go your own way and ignore God. I guarantee that you're going to be unsettled. You're going to be unsatisfied. You're going to be unfulfilled if you go your own way. And it's eventually going to lead you to a destination that is far less than God has for you. Or you can choose to invite God into your life and say, God, I want your will. And this doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, because we still live in a fallen world. And things are sometimes going to hurt. There are still going to be valleys. But the valleys aren't going to be as low. And the peaks are going to be even higher when you go down God's will. But it means that in the end, it means that at the end of that, that you've picked God's perfect destination. You found that sweet spot of living. You're doing what God created you to do. You're on the best pathway possible for your life. So, the choice is up to you. Which one do you want to choose? Am I going to go with God's will? Or am I going to go do my own thing? Do you want God's will in your life? Or maybe you'll face different decisions like relationships and career decisions. Or maybe just everyday decisions about, you know, who should I spend time with? And all these different kinds of things. Do you want God's will for your life? Or you willing to say, not my will be done, God, but your will be done? How can I fulfill God's will? Well, let me give you a few steps. There are actually three that we're going to look at today. And we're going to continue this in the coming weeks. But there are just three things today, and we're going to spend most of our time on number one. So here's the first thing, and I believe the most important step in fulfilling God's will, and it's this. Decide to actively listen to God each day. If I'm going to fulfill God's will, I must actively listen to God each day. One of these things that makes this topic of God's will difficult is there is not one particular passage that I can point you to. I can't just teach this in 1 week. We're going to spend several weeks on this. But I really do wish that I could take you to a passage of Scripture, maybe in the book of Second Misconceptions, and I can point you to a passage that says, if you do A, and if you do B, and if you do C, then you're going to get to God's will. But that passage isn't there. It's nowhere in the Bible. But if you want to study God's will, you have to look at all the different verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament. One of the things that you can say with all assurance is that God's not much into giving you a life map. God doesn't lay out a life map for you because God doesn't want his will to be a life map. He wants it to be a lifestyle. And because it's a lifestyle, he wants to give you directions day by day instead of showing you the final destination. You see, that's how God works. God doesn't lay out the final destination for your life. Instead, God says, if you'll trust me day by day, I'll show you which way to go. So we have to learn to listen to God daily. Now, the problem with this is as humans, what we want to say is, God, show me the final destination, and then I'll decide if I want your will or not. But God says, no, decide to trust me today, and I'll get you to the final destination. That's why God's will requires faith. That's why we have to learn to listen to God. Now, if you want to study a verse about God's will, I would suggest you start with Deuteronomy 13:4. It's one of the first verses about God's will in the Bible. It says this, serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. We can stop right there, pray, and go home. But let's go ahead and see what it says. It says this, obey his commands, and then I want to focus on this, listen to his voice and cling to him. If you want to accomplish God's will, the first thing that you have to do is you have to listen to his voice. You see, you have to get God's ear. You have to say, God, what do you want me to do when it comes to my career? God, what do you want me to do when it comes to my relationships? God, what do you want me to do when it comes to my life? We have to learn to hear from God. And a lot of people say, I just don't hear from God. God doesn't speak to me. Well, here's the truth. The truth is God is speaking to you. God is always speaking to you. You're just not always listening to him. You see, if you want to hear from God, you have to first tune into his frequency. God is always speaking to you. God is always giving you advice. But are you tuning in or are you tuning out? There are some big dangers to tuning out. Let me remind you of those before I show you how to tune in. Deuteronomy 28:45, a very strong verse. It says, if you refuse to listen to the Lord and to obey the commands and laws he's given you, all these curses will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Aren't you glad you tuned in today? But that's true, right? So how do you listen to God? How do you tune in to God? Well, there are a couple of categories of ways that you can tune into God. And one of the ways that you listen to God is direct revelation. There's only one way that God delivers direct revelation. The Bible is God's direct revelation to you. And there are thousands of issues that the Bible has spoken on. And as you begin to put the Bible into your life each day, you'll begin to be able to go to the Bible for direct revelation on a particular topic. For example, there are some things that you don't have to wonder if they are God's will or not. The Bible tells us they are God's will. It's written down for us to understand. And you know, maybe this Sunday, one of the things you need to decide to do is to get back into God's Word. Maybe you started reading the Bible, but you've maybe fallen away from that. Nothing can replace your daily time in God's Word because you want to get this direct revelation. There are other ways that aren't necessarily as clear as the Bible, but there are very specific ways that God speaks to us. There are a number of them. First of all, the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will often use your conscience or use that still small voice that's inside of your heart to speak to you or to guide you or to prompt you. Prayer. We need to spend time in prayer. A lot of times we don't hear from God because we don't pray and read his word. And then circumstances sometimes, and then other Christians. And by the way, all of these things, they happen on a Sunday. And Sunday is an orchestration of all of them. We study the Bible. We seek the Holy Spirit. We pray together. God orchestrates circumstances and messages and songs. Just for you here on Sunday, all of these things are there. And you're around other Christians. But you don't have to wait until Sunday to hear from God. You can hear from God every day if you pursue these sources. Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but we're going to unpack this little by little over the next few weeks. But even today, if you haven't been in God's Word, that's a decision you want to make. To get into God's Word and to read what God has to say. But the deal is, God is always speaking. The question is, are you listening? And because God is always speaking, Jesus could say this in Luke 8:8. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you willing to tune in to God and actively listen to God each day? If so, then you're well on your way toward fulfilling God's will. Then next, here's what we have to do. We have to act quickly on what God tells us to do. Act quickly on what God directs me to do. Once you hear from God, you want to take action on whatever it is quickly. Act quickly on what God directs me to do. The number one reason that we don't listen to God is because we don't want to obey. You see, there are things that all of us have in our lives that we don't want to take to God. There are topics that we're dealing with. There are things in our life that we're dealing with that the Bible speaks on, but we don't want to go read what the Bible says about that because we don't want to obey. And the number one reason that we don't hear from God is because we don't want to obey what God has to say. It's like the person who says, "You know what? I'm not going to pray about whether or not I should date this non-believer. And the reason why I don't want to pray about that is because the Bible is very clear that a Christian should not date a non-Christian." So we often will not even seek God's voice on certain topics in our lives because we would rather just not hear from Him than to have to disobey. You see, once God does speak to you, and once you do decide to obey, you're going to be surprised at just how much guidance God will give you. Because God is waiting for your yes before He will show you the next step. Because the way God works is if you aren't willing to act quickly on whatever it is that He tells you, He's going to stop talking to you. Let me try to explain that with a couple of verses. James 1:22. "And remember, it is a message to obey, not just to hear, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself." So if God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you are a fool. You're fooling yourself. You're going to mess up. Then look at this. Hebrews 25, a long, strong passage. "See to it that you obey God, the one who is speaking to you. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses," the earthly message, "how terrible our danger." You don't want to live in danger. How terrible our danger if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. You see, this is a serious warning to us. And here's why it's serious. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And if you delay being obedient to God, God tells you to do something. God speaks clearly in His Word about something. God orchestrates the daily inspiration in your life, the daily guidance, the prayer, and all those things. And you know that you should do that. And then you don't do it, that is disobedience. And in that area of your life, you will no longer be able to hear from God. Let's just think about an area of your life? Is there something in your life right now that God told you to do in the past and you still haven't done it? You will not be able to continue to hear from God in that area in the future. So if God speaks to you about your career and you don't take action, you cut yourself off from the guidance that God wants to give you on your career. Now, He may still guide you in your relationship life. He may still guide you over here. But unless you act on what you know God has told you to do, well, somebody said doing God's will is like driving a car at night with the lights on. You can only see about maybe 10 to 15 yards in front of you. But that's enough to get you to your final destination. So that's how it is with God's will. God will lay out the next step for you. But if you will take that step, He'll lay out the next step for you. And if you take that step, He'll lay out the next step. But He will eventually get you to where you want to go. It's like the GPS. Turn here, and then turn here, turn here. God will get you there. But at any moment you stop taking that next step, then you'll no longer be able to hear from God. And you are living in disobedience. That's strong teaching, but it's true. Here's a question for you. Is there something that you know you should be doing right now in your life that God has told you to do in the past, but you haven't yet done, that you need to do quickly? Quickly. Take that step. If you're doing something in your relational life right now, and you know God's told you to do something else, but you haven't done it, you are missing out. That's why Jesus made this promise. John 13:17, He said, "You know these things," the things that God has spoken about. "You know these things. Now do them." That is the path to blessing. So you have to act quickly on what God wants you to do. So what is God saying to you? Maybe you need to get with God and hear His voice, and you need to pray and read the Bible and still hear God's voice on something. But I encourage you today, if there is something that God has spoken to you about already, take action on it. Don't wait. It's going to get you through the next step. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, that was the best pathway possible. It takes faith, but it's about doing God's will. And then here's the final step that we're going to look at today. If I want to fulfill God's will, this is really the big one, and it's the one that kind of sums up this whole series. And this is it: to admit my complete dependence upon God. To admit to yourself and to God that you are completely dependent upon Him. You say, God, if I go my own way, I'm going to mess up. God, if I go my own way, I'm going to stumble. I am dependent upon You. If I don't hear from You, if You don't guide me, if You don't advise me, if You don't show me that best pathway, I am in deep weeds. See, living our lives under our own will is called independence. But the path to going and doing God's will, experiencing God's blessing, getting God's best for your life is called dependence. Dependence means that you are committed to God. You are determined to seek His will. You won't act until you hear from Him. It means that you are allowing God to influence every area of your life. And it means that you are allowing God to control you. You see, dependence means you are not under your control. It means you are under God's control. And that's what I'm challenging you to do. I'm challenging you today to be determined to do God's will, to allow God to control you and allow God to influence every area of your life. And I know in America, we value independence. Well, you know what? That really doesn't take any strength. That doesn't take any strength to be an independent person, just doing what you want to do. I mean, anybody can do what they want to do. A little baby can do what they want to do. Independence is just weak. That's just sitting back and letting the world go. But the woman of strength, or the man of strength, who says, it's not about my will, it's not about my best thinking, it's about God's perspective. It's about God's will. That's a position of strength. Because it takes strength to say, I'm not going to fall for the same temptation again. I'm not going to go my own way. I'm going to go God's way. And you come to a crossroads in your life. And everybody does. When you have to decide, is it going to be my will or is it going to be God's will? Even Jesus faced that decision 2,000 years ago, about 48 hours or so before his crucifixion. Jesus found himself at this crossroads in the Garden of Gethsemane. And during this period of time, as he prayed and fasted about what God had before him, which was death on a cross, Jesus could have gone his own way and ignored that path, not gone to Jerusalem, left and fled by night. He could have gone his own way, but at that moment, to know that I am dependent upon God, not in control. His pathway is the best. And Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what I'm challenging you to do today. To say, nevertheless, not my will, God, but thy will be done. Matthew 26:39, I want this to be the prayer of your heart. Yet I want your will, not mine. That's the prayer of our heart today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've been reminded today of the act that you are still speaking to us. That you speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit and through prayer and through other Christians and even through circumstances. We've been reminded today to take action on what you direct us to do immediately. So God, the cost of that, we admit today our complete dependence upon you. God, we need you to guide us. We need your direction. We need you making that admission that we realize that this doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. We still live in a fallen world. But it does mean that we have you along beside us. that we have your guidance and we have your advice. And God, over these next few weeks, we need you to teach us about your will and about how we can fulfill that. And we offer this prayer according to your will. Yet not my will, but your will be done. We all pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.